from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Big rush by Kansas City. Spinning around is Jackson. He will throw it late at the back of the end zone, and the pass is caught. It's a touchdown for the Ravens. 9 yards deep in the end zone by Isaiah Likely. And what a great play by Lamar Jackson to keep the play alive.
By a toe. Wow.
We won by that much.
Literally a toenail. If he had trimmed it the night before, we might be telling a different story today.
I am exhausted.
Maybe he should have worn some different colored cleats.
Did you hear Patrick Mahomes at his news conference?
Oh,
I don't know if we had that when they said, do you have any advice for Isaiah Likely? Wear white cleats next time.
Boy, they barely got out of that one alive. Because Harbaugh said if they had scored.
They were going for two.
He was going for two.
Oh, I know it.
So it wasn't exactly a done deal.
Well,
but
I'm just going to stop all of you right here. And by all of you, I mean the three of y'all.
Here we go.
You know,
the new expert in football has arrived.
I need to say a couple of things.
Oh, God.
I was very clear yesterday that I thought Xavier Worthy was going to be incredible.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Check. That the list really goes on and on. We don't have time in a 4-hour show to break down all of the things that I called that ended up happening last night. But Dan Weinbaum, I will say this, out of this entire team, was the one who acknowledged live during the game that everything I predicted yesterday during this program with respect to that Chiefs game came true.
I beg to differ.
Other than the Chiefs winning, I don't recall any predictions you made.
The one prediction that you did make most certainly did not happen. It wasn't even a guy on the Chiefs who scored the first touchdown, let alone Noah Gray.
Well, but Noah Gray did well. And then the
other one,
Mr. Steele. Hello, Mr. Steele. Scott was like, you better just pipe down. He's not going to get any playing time. Every time I looked out there, there's Fabio with the ball.
Yeah, kickoff returns.
No, he did get a couple of runs.
It was such an exciting game.
It was good practice for him. Had to get some reps.
Shut up.
Isaiah Pacheco is RB1, obviously.
Clearly.
You know, the New York Times picked this up today, of course, in The Athletic, and said, and I'm just quoting here, this is the last thing the rest of the NFL wants to hear, but this Chiefs team is better than last season's iteration.
Definitely nerve-wracking. I mean, because it looked good from my angle on the sideline. But then the first view you saw, you could see the cleat. That's a great football team, and I'm sure we'll see him again at some point in the playoffs. So now we're happy with the win now, and he's got to wear white cleats next time. That's my advice for him.
Wow.
Have you guys seen the memes of someone cut out a little notch, you know, where they zoom in on the Ravens' toe? And said all of Baltimore be like, his foot's in. And it's like a little notch that's cut out to make it look like in that one spot his foot was in. The memes on this thing on Twitter last night were hilarious.
Now, kudos to the camera crew.
Oh, amen.
Sure, of course.
For capturing all that.
Absolutely.
Did you place your bet for the score prediction?
Okay.
I mean, we're going down all the things that you predicted correctly.
Yeah, and all the things were right. Mm-hmm. Everything she said on the show yesterday turned out to be true.
I will tell you this. I would have gotten the score wrong, and I would have gotten the first touchdown scorer wrong. But my son told me.
Then what did you predict right?
My son told me, put your money on the Ravens kid to score first, and he did. And I just didn't get the bet in time.
Okay, you want us to believe that?
No, for real. I was sitting at dinner and I go, doggone it. I forgot to place the bet on Pacheco scoring first.
So what prediction?
And then I looked up and it was the Ravens guy that scored first. And my phone goes off and it was my youngest son going, told you.
So what prediction did you get right?
That Steele would play a lot, that Gray would do very well, that Worthy is incredible. And by the way, that's the second. I wouldn't say the second. There's a lot of mistakes the Bills have made, but they handed us Mahomes. Is this true?
So yes. In the Mahomes
and
draft,
Xavier Worthy,
yeah,
correct?
When we drafted Mahomes, we traded up to get the 10th pick. Right. We traded with the Buffalo Bills to get that 10th pick. This last draft, obviously, we were supposed to be 32nd because we won the Super Bowl. Yep. Well, we didn't want to be 32nd, so we called our good buddy the Bills and said, hey, any chance you want to trade that 28th spot for us? And they said, sure, why not?
I told Dana,
and we picked right up Xavier Worthy.
I said, in the future, when, you know, up in Buffalo, if the phone rings and caller ID says Kansas City Chiefs, don't answer.
I agree.
I saw on Twitter last night a lot of people in the Bills world just so upset about Worthy.
Dan, the NFL tweeted, let me get this straight. Yeah. The Bills handed over Patrick Mahomes and Xavier Worthy to Kansas City. I mean, you guys, this season is going to be so exciting.
When they pulled that reverse
with
Worthy.
Yeah.
And was that in the first quarter?
Yeah.
I think it was. I almost lost track of him. That's how fast he is.
He just cut through everybody. I don't even think he was touched. Barely.
He wasn't.
He just zagged.
And then, okay, wait.
28 yards.
The other meme.
Traffic.
Runs a 4.240.
Yeah.
Somebody was showing it.
Hill was like, hey.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill was like, oh my gosh. The NFL also tweeted. It was like a blurry photo as he ran by.
And they said, only picture we could get.
It's crazy.
And Noah Gray, tight end number two.
Well, no, I agree. Mm-hmm. How does Xavier Worthy drop to 28th in that draft?
I don't know. Or ask it another way. How did we know?
Well, the reason he dropped is because of his physical size. Yes, he's incredibly fast, but he is very small for a wide receiver.
Yeah, so is Tyreek Hill.
Well, true.
We can't read Tyreek's tweet about it, but it was funny. It was basically, damn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
Huh? All those people with their stats and their numbers and their combines and their body size and weight and all that kind of stuff. They're like, he probably won't do so well in the NFL because he's smaller. Perhaps
take
that's
that.
What they were thinking.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Two of three.
Can we please hear One Toe Over the Line, Sweet Jesus, that has now been made into a new song called One Toe Over the Line?
Okay.
Sweet Jesus. One of our listeners last night said, that's going to have to be the song of the season.
I will say this,
I'm
though.
Sorry.
And this is probably going to rub a lot of the Chiefs Nation wrong. We saw the NFL MVP on that field last night, and he doesn't wear the number 15.
Lamar Jackson is an impressive player.
He is.
But he doesn't have all the other things. You have to have all the
things.
That's
right. That's
the difference.
You have to have the Worthy and the Gray and the Fabio and the Kelsey. You got to have the whole thing.
Lamar Jackson is the best player in the NFL.
Well, you have to have an offensive line, which Lamar Jackson does not have.
We call that the O-line, Sam.
It's called Yet.
You guys need to watch Dana break down a game. We might have to all watch the Chiefs game together next time.
I don't think.
No, I think you would really learn some things.
How much does it pay?
Mm-hmm. Somebody says, am I listening to a sports station? No, because a sports station would break down the game. We're just talking about the game.
Oh, I saw 100 women this morning. The first thing they all said was, oh my God, did you see that game last night?
Listen, librarian 6717, I'm sorry that you don't like sports, but let me be very clear. The ratings on that game last night are going to be back? Not yet.
I'll look. I bet they are.
I guarantee you, in Kansas City, they pulled a 90 share.
You got to wear white cleats next time. That's my advice for him.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, sir.
Text line taking offense to your assertion that Lamar Jackson's the best one.
He's the best player in the NFL. Ooh. There is no doubt in my mind.
Man, I don't. I can't go that far.
Okay.
He's very, very good.
Coming up on the program, we have so many things. One of our favorite friends of the program, multiple friends of the program, is a crime victim overnight. We are going to help them get back what was stolen from them overnight, not in Kansas City, in Wichita, of all places. We're going to talk about that.
Ne'er-do-wells.
We have a surprise guest coming in for Scott in the 5 o'clock hour.
You know the 5 o'clock hour is festivals.
I'm quite aware.
So you're going to have a grievance, I'm sure.
Yes. We have.
Is this an animal?
We have a guest that will be attending Festivus with us today.
Fur or feathers?
I'm not going to talk about it. It is a surprise. Why does everyone always assume it's an animal?
Because it's always an animal.
That's all you ever book.
I take offense to that.
And then they come in here and they pee, or they don't do what they're supposed to do, or they bite. It's just like, why are you here?
And then we're not going to spend a ton of time talking about it, but the idiot shooter's idiot father has been charged. Mm-hmm. Good riddance. Bye-bye.
Could go, if found guilty, could go to prison for 180 years.
Good.
Obviously, that's
good.
Life.
Bye.
Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com. You're kidding, right?
It's one toe over the line. Sweet Jesus. You got to say it that way.
That's what Likely was saying last night.
One toe over the line. Sweet Jesus. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Australian breakdancer Rachel Gunn, a.k.a. Ray Gunn, is apologizing to the breakin' community for the backlash that her Paris Olympic performance has brought to it. Breakdancing made its Olympic debut at the 2024 Paris Games, and it has since been canceled, largely because of Ray Gunn. Her unique moves included a kangaroo hop.
Is that what we're calling it?
A backward roll and various contortions with her body while lying or crawling on the floor. She did not register any points during her break-in battle.
Is she just the biggest fraud ever?
She said she
was trying to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
She then capitalized on her popularity of her point going incredibly wrong. And then now she's appalled. Oh, sorry, guys.
I don't know.
I'm actually a champion for the break-in community. No, you're not. You just said 2 weeks ago that you were trying to make a point.
Well, I'll tell you this. I actually found breakdancing in the Olympics to be quite fascinating. And I'm bothered that they're not including it in the 2028 Olympics in L.A. To me, it was one of the highlights of the Olympics.
Right.
Now, there is some deeper analysis to that.
No, there's not. I'm glad you said found, past tense, because we will not be finding anything interesting about breakdancing in the Olympics.
Did you not enjoy it at all?
I watched out.
Out of curiosity.
Okay. Curiosity, number one. Number two, you texted, drop what you're doing and watch it. But more as, like, you watch when there's a car wreck.
Oh, my God.
And you shouldn't.
What?
Like, you know when you're like...
Oh, that car is on fire.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be like looking, but you look. That's how I watched it. You watched it, I think. And I'm not saying they're not athletes. They are. But when... I'm sorry.
I thought it was incredible.
When one of the performers is with his arms folded, like dissing the other's...
Yes.
That's a mandatory portion of breaking.
I could not stop laughing. I mean, it's a Saturday Night Live skit that writes itself.
Like when they eyeballed each other and the guy just walks away like, all right.
It's so funny that I've said to my girlfriends, I think in every sport, we should bring in an opponent.
Yes.
To walk around and diss the other person. Like Scheffler on the first tee.
Or Simone Biles.
We should just send another golfer to just walk all the way around him, nodding his head. Like,
and like thumping your chest.
Right. Because it would make sports a lot more interesting for some people.
Somebody standing on the back of the high dive just taunting them?
Yes.
Can you imagine if, like, Simone Biles gets done doing her routine and just walks over to Czechoslovakia and goes...
I know that you enjoyed it, and I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I think we enjoyed it for different reasons.
Well, that hurts me.
So the bit of deeper analysis is that for whatever reason, Australia chose break-in because each host country gets to pick their whatever you want to call it,
breaker.
Extra sport.
Yeah.
Not Australia as the host country. France as the host country chose break-in. The U.S. did not. Now, there is no confirmation of that. I think that they saw how it went down and decided we're never doing this again.
Well, I thought it was fascinating. Okay. Let's go to Winder, Georgia. The teenager accused of shooting dead two students and two teachers at a Georgia high school appeared in court for the first time earlier today to face murder charges. Hours after his father was arrested on suspicion of facilitating the shootings by allowing his son to possess a deadly weapon. I'm not going to say the 14-year-old's name. He's not worthy of it.
Nope.
Appeared in Barrow County Court in Winder at about 8:30 this morning Eastern Time. I watched it. He has long orange hair. He faces four counts of felony murder. He is being treated as an adult.
Good.
Shortly afterward, his father, who is 54 years old, appeared in the same courtroom, faced with 14 charges, including four counts of involuntary manslaughter, two counts of second-degree murder, and eight counts of cruelty to children. If convicted, he faces 180 years in prison. He cried throughout the entire hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I watched it. He cried the entire time.
Let's go back to Dad. What did he know and when did he know
it? So Dad knew last year when this 14-year-old was 13 years old. He had made some online gaming situations.
He had made anonymous threats saying that he was going to shoot up a school.
Correct. He had made some threats in the gaming community and had also made some threats on social media about shooting up a school, et cetera, et cetera. The authorities figured out who it was and went to the home. Dad said, yes, there are guns in the home, but they are secured. Okay. For Christmas of this past year, he bought him an AR-15.
Well, he's an idiot.
Having known that his son had made online threats about shooting up a school where the authorities had to come to the house to make sure everything was okay. And for Christmas, because nothing says Christ like an AR-15, he went out and bought his son an AR-15.
Which is illegal in and of itself.
I was going to ask you, can you even as a teenager have one of those things?
I don't believe
you,
so.
You can you can have a gun like that in your possession if you are in the presence of a parent or an adult guardian.
A supervising guardian.
Correct,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, kids do it all the time out in the country. They go hunting with their dad or mom or whatever. So as long as you're with an adult, yes, you can have a weapon like that. But it's about time. And before we go any further, before everybody thinks, oh, this is an anti-gun show, I own guns.
It's not an anti-gun show.
No,
I'm an anti-idiot.
That's exactly right. If you know that your kid has problems and you give your son or daughter access to those weapons, you're part of the problem.
Well, and keep in mind, this isn't just suspicion that my kid has problems. This is the FBI was sitting in my living room less than a year ago.
That's
problems.
Right. That's right.
The shred of light after such a dark, dark day tomorrow is that seven of the nine who were wounded have been released from the hospital.
Good.
And all nine are expected to survive and, quote, make a full recovery.
Good. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. Story here from NBC News, so you know it's true. An aggressive water buffalo.
Is there any other kind?
Escaped from his owner in Iowa before he was found and tranquilized on Wednesday, ending a four-day chase near Des Moines. Police in Pleasant Hill were first notified on Saturday that the animal was loose, and a responding officer was asked by the creature's owner to kill it.
Oh.
What?
Well, because I think the owner knew he's an aggressive type of water buffalo and could kill someone, so please just put the animal down.
Owner said it was, quote, an aggressive animal they were preparing to butcher for its meat and asked the officer to, quote, put it down. The responding officer informed them they could not and would not put animals down unless it posed a threat to the public.
Mm-hmm.
At one point during the pursuit, The water buffalo showed its aggressiveness toward officers, and a shot was fired at the animal.
Mm-hmm.
The animal was injured and fled. The animal, named Phil, was shot in the...
Oh, Phil the water buffalo.
Donahue.
The animal named Phil,
short
two
for
L's, Philip. Two L's, was shot in the chest, but did survive.
Oh, well.
The water buffalo was spotted on Tuesday night in a remote area, so police and animal control waited until Wednesday, when it was shot with a tranquilizer dart at 9:30 in the morning, and also at 10 a.m. The immobilized beast was treated with reversal drugs. I can't believe I get paid to read this.
But they woke him back up?
With reversal drugs, antibiotics, and vitamins, and was taken to Iowa State University.
Okay.
His prognosis is, quote, guarded.
Aggression?
Okay. From water buffalo to goats and the Kansas City Star. Stray goats have been roaming Kansas City's riverfront. Why are they so hard to catch? Goats have been roaming the Berkeley Riverfront in Kansas City, and nobody seems to know who they belong to.
Enough.
Quoting here from Meredith Haynes, a spokesperson for Port Kansas City, it's been a month and we still have goats. Her group, enough. Which helps facilitate development of the riverfront, did bring in several dozen of them in mid-July to graze on weeds and other vegetation along the Riverfront Heritage Trail.
Goats on the go, great idea.
They do. They're very eco-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. The heirloom farm goats that Port KC hired in July were rounded up and taken home at the end of the month. The goats still roaming are fugitives, but from where, no one can tell. That's the noise they make as you try to hone in.
They are dumb.
Quoting here from Ryan Johnson, KC Pet Project's chief of animal services, this is a new one for me. Our team has been out there checking on them pretty much every day. We have tried multiple times to do capture efforts.
Are they wild?
But depending on where the goats are located, they pretty much have free range. Well, Johnson says his officers have caught three so far, and they're now ramping up an ambitious plan to capture the remaining seven.
What, EDC?
Why not just let them go? I mean, all they're going to do is destroy the vegetation that's overgrowing along the riverfront that we don't want anyway.
It's free yard work.
Why are they capturing them? They're not hurting anybody. They're not dangerous animals, goats.
It's not an aggressive water buffalo.
Please.
Exactly.
At first, officials thought the two bonus goats had escaped from another grazing project near City Market, but neither that project nor Heirloom Farm were missing any goats.
Well, they use them out in Lenexa to at Sargo Park.
Yeah, they're goats on the go, same company.
Yeah.
Okay, they are very standoffish. This is a direct quote.
Well, they're very dumb.
The three caught so far were very difficult to corral, and the entire group is reluctant to allow humans closer than around 50 feet. They really favor steep, rocky banks right there beside the river.
Goats Maybe are, they're wild goats.
They are. Well, they're naturally skilled climbers. This is why I don't think these belong to somebody on a farm. These are wild goats. No one knows.
Why not just leave them alone?
I agree.
They're not hurting anybody. They're not hurting anything. They're eating grass. Okay, now you don't have to mow it on the riverfront. Leave them alone.
I am telling you, I'm with you on this. Leave them alone.
Tot mom, Casey Anthony, has been having an affair with the father of two since January.
Oh, my.
And the notorious murder defendant blew up her new man's 20-year marriage to be with him. Anthony is 38. She's been dating 48-year-old Tyson Rhodes since January. Anthony and Rhodes met through the gym where they both work out in South Florida. They joined a group text with other gym members, but soon began talking one-on-one. Rhodes has two sons who are both young adults, thank God. They might survive. The couple was spotted on Wednesday outside of her luxury apartment.
First of all, I don't want to hear the word luxury anywhere near that awful, evil human being, number one. Number two, there should be a restraining order against her around anyone who at any point in your life was a child.
Everybody at one point in their life was a child.
I'm aware.
Oh.
So everyone?
Yes.
So jail.
Can you imagine being the mother of the now adult children that the ding-a-ling is dating her? You would be like, no.
I'm taking my kids and you're never seeing them again is what I would say.
It's been more than 15 years since she became a public figure.
God, I hate her.
Can you believe that? 15 years.
Okay, can we talk about Abraham Lincoln? I'm just going to throw an audible here.
Oh, are you going to throw an audible or call one?
I throw them. You call them. You do you. When it comes to football, I do me.
Okay.
Was Abraham Lincoln gay?
We don't know. Not that it would matter.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
That's exactly right.
Wait, are we going down conspiracy theory rabbit holes here?
No, this is not.
This one's been around for a long time.
No, this is not. Sam, they are trying.
What's next? The moon landing was fake?
To now prove. I don't know how you do this, but they are trying to now prove that perhaps.
No, they're exploring.
As was he.
Maybe.
Wow. This has been a long-standing theory in the conspiracy theory world.
I have heard this, Sam. Yeah. Ever.
You never heard the...
No!
I was dumbfounded when I saw this in the stack.
NBC News is reporting that there is a new documentary called Lover of Men, The Untold History of Abraham Lincoln. And director Sean Peterson tackles decades worth of speculation about the sexual orientation of the 16th U.S. president.
Okay.
Quoting here, we are in a very, very conservative time, this blip on the map of human history where we have names and binaries and now laws that could potentially make loving someone illegal.
Oh, sure.
Peterson told NBC News, describing the desire to label, categorize, and even demonize sexuality as being very weird in a larger historical context.
Okay, this would have been while he was president?
Well, it, later on in the story, according to this director, Sean Peterson, he claims that Abraham Lincoln had four different men sleep in his bed with him in the White House.
On a regular basis.
Correct.
Yeah, this theory's been around forever. Now, the argument against
it. Look at her jaw. It's on the floor.
Well, it's not. Here.
The argument against it has always been beds were expensive and hard to make back then.
Okay.
It was a convenience
thing. Okay.
There were a lot of bedrooms, Sam.
Look, right. It was the White House. They could have afforded
there,
it.
There was room.
Here's what I'm going to say. Just because hundreds of years have passed does not mean there were any more or any fewer bisexual or gay people roaming the world.
I agree with you.
They were just... the word would not even be closeted. It was criminalized, let alone if you were a public figure. I mean, well into the 70s and 80s, people were lying about their hiding their sexual orientation their own protection.
I mean, there's
a Liberace.
We called it coming out of the closet.
Yes.
Right? So as if you had something to hide.
Does it surprise me? No. What kind of historical record would there have been alluding to any of this? I guess it surprises me there would be anything to, quote, uncover.
Diaries.
Guest lists.
That doesn't prove anything.
No, it doesn't prove anything.
Unless there's like a diary like Bridges of Madison County, you know, that.
Right.
But which back then they would not have. If you were a gay person in hiding during those times.
Which everyone was.
You would
gay.
Yes, you would not have written it down.
Why?
Fear of death, fear of losing your job, all of the things multiplied back then.
Well, but I keep a journal right now, and...
Well, it's 2024. You can't look back at...
Well, I know, but people...
With the lens of today.
People weren't raiding homes and grabbing diaries. You could keep your own diary, and then when you die, people read it. What are they going to do when you're dead? Nothing.
I believe the theory that the men were sleeping in the same bed with him... came from diary entries.
And probably from his wife. She would have known. What was her name?
Mrs. Lincoln.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot her first
and
name.
I disagree that she would have known.
Really?
Yep. I think these
how do you figure?
Relationships were deeply hidden and private.
But according to this documentary, these four men were sleeping in the White House with him in his bed on a regular basis. She would have to know. I mean.
Okay, let me just read this.
Okay.
The scholars offer various interpretations on how Lincoln's defining same-sex relationships played a part in shaping him into the president who most cared about the country as a whole, as one expert put it. They also examine a large body of letters written by and about the president that provide firsthand accounts of those relationships. Some, like a letter written by one of the men, in which he describes Lincoln's thighs as, quote, as perfect as a human being could be, which could mean a lot of things. I mean,
Really? Do you know how many times I've written about another man's thighs?
No. Do you know how many men have said, oh, my gosh, look at Phil Mickelson's calves?
No.
I know my thighs are in your journal, Scott. Don't lie.
And so, but right.
One person.
It does go on to say some of the letters tend to allude to more explicit carnal relations.
Why do I feel like you're...
I don't know either.
Tiptoeing around this. Carnal relations. I believe in the 13 years we've been doing this show together, the word carnal has been uttered once, and it was 10 seconds ago.
Is your tinfoil hat fitting well in there?
I think it is possible, if not probable, that this was true. My God, the name of the documentary is Lover of Men. I mean, I'll come out and say it already. Doesn't say maybe he loved men. The documentary is called Lover of Men.
Well, but you know what I always say about a documentary? They go out with the premise first, and then they try to prove it.
Multiple people sharing the same sentiment on the text line. Who cares?
Exactly. Who does care?
I care historically because it shows you that back then, as for some people still today, sadly, he could not be who he really was if, in fact...
Not then.
Absolutely not then.
Well, there's even theories that in his rise in politics, he got married as part of a cover-up.
James Buchanan is the only president that was never married. Also thought to be gay. Who cares?
Yeah.
But to Dana's point, and it is a valid point, and it is a good one. If he was gay, Abraham Lincoln, or bisexual, again, who cares? He would have never been the consequential president, arguably the greatest president in American history.
But that reflects the mirror back at us, Scott, that scholars, right. that reflects the ugliness of America back right at us, that scholars would now somehow not consider him to be the greatest president because he shared a bed with other men.
No,
they say this in the NBC News article. We have to remember that historians are people, too. They might be respected figures at universities and all of that, but they are also human beings who were products of their time, who had a, quote, insanely high standard for him.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, if he was gay, again, who cares? And if it had been publicly known, he would have never been elected president of the United States. And God knows where we would be today. That's what I'm saying. Because of his sexual orientation, it would have kept him out of the presidency. And God knows where this country would be today. Would we be divided? Two different countries? The Confederate States of America, the United States of America, would we have lost the Civil War?
This is why I think it's worth exploring. I really do. I would watch the documentary.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Paris has been dethroned as the most romantic travel destination in the world. Would you care to guess what is now the most romantic destination in the world? I'll give you a hint. It is one of the 50 United States.
The most romantic destination mm-hmm. in the world. Do you want the state or the city in the state?
If you can do the city in the state, I'd be really impressed.
Okay.
If you can just do the state, I'd still be impressed.
It's not Florida.
Paris is number two, by the way.
Paris is number two? Is it Maui?
It is Maui, Hawaii.
Ah! Because I was looking at these United States, and I was like, I'm not feeling like it's going to be Montana.
Hmm.
Or Illinois. Or
Kansas.
Anywhere in the Rust Belt.
Missouri.
Yeah. I mean, of course it's Maui. Have you been to Maui? My God. It looks fake. It doesn't even look real.
Maui is number one. Paris is number two.
Okay.
Rome is three.
Yeah.
Venice, Italy, my favorite city on the planet, is four. Cancun, Mexico, five.
Ooh.
Why do you not like Cancun?
Because I went four times under duress.
I'm going for the second time this year at the end of this month.
I'm happy for you. I'm thrilled for you.
Well, it's very cheap, actually, Sam. Tuscany, Italy is number 6.
Oh, yeah.
Costa Rica is number 7.
Okay.
The British Virgin Islands are 8.
BVI.
St. Lucia is number 9. And Santorini, Greece is 10.
I would like to go to all of those places.
Here are a couple I don't understand. Aspen, Colorado is 11.
Oh, that's really pretty.
12 is New York City. I've been to New York a lot.
I think a lot of things about it. I don't know that I think romance, but okay.
Turks and Caicos, 13.
Okay.
I've been there. It's awesome. Provence, France, 14. And the Amalfi Coast in Italy is 15.
Did you hear YouTuber Paul, is it Harrell, announced his own death from pancreatic cancer at age 58 in a pre-recorded video? Literally, this thing says, I'm dead.
Oh.
My sincere apologies, he says. I had hoped I would continue in this format for the next 10 or even 15 years in the video, which is titled, I'm Dead.
Okay.
I'm recording this and giving it to his manager and giving him instructions to publish this upon my death, he says. So if you're watching me, I'm dead. And he was a U.S. Army and Marine Corps veteran. Had 1.2 million subscribers, where he posted videos discussing gun safety and reviewing firearms. He thanked everybody and offered an apology for not being able to continue posting. And I started to think, Scott, like, wouldn't we all like to announce our own, like, this is how I'm going out, this is what's going on.
You're reading this letter? Yeah. I'm not
right.
Here anymore.
You don't have to hear it third hand. You don't have to read it in a obituary that can sometimes be sterile.
Yes, I guess, but wouldn't
I applaud him?
Like, if I were to die, God forbid, but it will happen someday. I imagine you're going to get a call from somebody in my family because of the relationship that we've had for so many years. And, if you don't already know it or that I'm approaching death, I don't know that you need to make a video.
Oh, I'm totally going to make you an I'm Dead video for me. And I'm just going to lay out all the things about you that annoyed me over the years.
Was it going to be like 3 hours long?
A Kansas City radio legend recorded a video to close out his own funeral, and it made me cry like a baby the entire time.
Who was it?
Slacker.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
It was like a 10-minute long video.
Well, I was...
And there were skits in it, the whole nine. Yeah,
I went to his funeral. I don't recall them playing a video at the funeral.
They played it at the end.
Did they?
They did.
You're right.
I was not there, and I know that.
You're right. I do remember that now. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, and I knew Slacker well. When his daughter got up and delivered the eulogy for him.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean.
I have such admiration and awe and respect for anyone who can stand up there and say those words.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, I could not do the eulogy at my dad's funeral. And my brother did, and my hat's off to my brother. I couldn't do it. I sat in the pew and just bawled my eyes out. I did do the eulogy for my best friend Joe 2 years ago, and that is the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
I think anyone would say that.
It was the hardest thing I
but
ever did.
But it's the most beautiful thing to do, too.
Yeah. And I remember the last thing I said, I looked down at his four children, and I said, I speak for your father. He adored you.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was the last thing I said.
We have a banana maraca in studio, and there is a reason that I'm shaking the banana.
Beg your pardon?
And we will talk about it straight ahead.
Quite the banana.
If you are in a bad mood and you pick up a banana maraca, you can't be in a bad mood anymore.
We'll get to that.
Joyous and festive.
In just a moment.
Joyous banana.
News with Dan Weinberg.
Can't stop shaking it.
Okay. Comes your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.